This series concerning core values helps to anchor our everyday discipleship.
This series, Core Values, helps strengthen the ministry of our church as well.
We lift up these core values because sometimes our vision leaks.
These core values have informed and sustained Christ followers through the centuries.
These core values continue to provide a foundation for our discipleship today.
Core values, worship. Our scripture today comes from Psalm 95, beginning with verse 6. The psalmist writes, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad that you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the chat. We've got a new chat feature on the website this week, so you can chat there too. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. So how are you doing today? Man, have you been enjoying the beautiful fall weather this week? The creation declares the glory of the Lord. I don't know about you, I'm often reminded to praise and magnify the Lord as I experience the beauty of the world around us. Hallelujah! I trust you are well today. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, sometimes it's not easy to rejoice, but I've discovered there is something about doing it, even during those difficult times, that is particularly meaningful. I pray that you experience the presence and power of God today and throughout this coming week. Amen? Amen. Today, I'm continuing my series, Core Values. We've said that as we journey with Jesus, there are core values that anchor our everyday discipleship and strengthen the ministry of our church. So far, we've talked about salvation, Scripture, the Holy Spirit, prayer, and stewardship. As we let God build these core values into our lives, we are best equipped to live out our faith in victory. Today, I want to talk about another core value at the heart of our Christian discipleship, worship. Worship. One truth that permeates the Scriptures and all of creation is this: God Almighty is worthy of our worship. Type worthy in the chat. The Lord is worthy to be praised. As we relate to God Almighty through our faith in Jesus, we marvel that the God of the universe seeks to know us and to be known and to become an ongoing presence in our lives. Wow, that's quite remarkable and nearly unfathomable. How does it happen? Well, get this. The regular practice of worship is how we cultivate our connection with the living God. You know, in a world where many people are running after all kinds of false gods or unfulfilling idols, we have the privilege of lifting our hearts and our minds in acts of worship to the living God as He has revealed Himself to us. I want to talk more about that today. So right off the bat, one thing that's so helpful as we develop this regular practice of worship is this. Worship keeps us grounded in a crisis. How many times do we find ourselves in the middle of a crisis? They happen in our families. There's an accident or a diagnosis or a death. They can happen at work. There's a layoff, a downturn, a change. They happen in our communities, a storm, increased crime, even a pandemic. So what do we do? How is our faith helpful? Well, rather than be consumed by the crisis, When we can stop and turn our thoughts and our prayers toward God, it makes all the difference. In the midst of any crisis, if we can turn our hearts, our thoughts, our emotions toward God, if we can instead seek God and praise God and worship God, there is a peace that God brings in the midst of any storm. Worship keeps us grounded in a crisis, anchored in the storm. So how do we define worship? Our word worship comes from an old English word, worth-ship, which means to give worth, honor, respect. So when we worship God, we're declaring God's worth to us. We're giving honor and reverence and respect to the one who has captured our hearts. We're saying, God, you are worthy of our time and our honor and our praise. In the Old Testament, when people wanted to worship God, they often built an altar and offered a sacrifice. When Moses came down from the mountain after hearing God's initial words of the covenant and sharing them with the people, he built an altar and he had each tribe bring a sacrifice to honor God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob expressed their worship, honor, reverence by bringing a sacrifice before God. We honor, revere, and worship God today by bringing a tithe or offering, or we bring a sacrifice of praise, or we bring an offering of our time. We bring an offering that ultimately expresses our heart. What God desires most of all from us is a relationship in which we regularly express our heartfelt gratitude and worship for who He is and what He has done. And the good news is we can do that anytime, any place, because Jesus has come and broken down the dividing wall of hostility between us and God. Jesus Christ is the one who has come that we might worship God fully in spirit and in truth. Jesus has made our intimate worship and fellowship with the living God possible. So, what are some postures of worship? In the New Testament, the Greek word for worship means to bend the knee, to bow down. Bowing is one posture commonly used to signal honor and reverence. Christians, we often bow our head in prayer during worship. Kneeling is another common posture. We have a kneeling rail in the sanctuary where people can come. We know that Jesus knelt in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. To kneel is to bend one's knee in humility and acknowledge our need before God. Lying prostrate, flat out on one's face, is another posture sometimes used to come before God. It's a dramatic expression of humility and need. Sometimes when we face desperate circumstances, this position, flat on our face, seems most appropriate. Raising hands is another biblical way of expressing adoration, honor, exaltation during worship. There are many physical postures of worship, but God is most interested in the posture of our heart. The psalmist writes in Psalm 95, 6 and 7, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people, the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. God cares most about the condition of our heart in worship. Are we engaged? Are we seeking God? Are we purposeful about what we're doing? Or just going through the motions? Jesus talked about that very thing in His day, quoting what Isaiah had prophesied long ago in Isaiah 29:13, when He said, These people, they come near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. We don't want that. Hearts far from God. To worship God with all our heart is something we cultivate. Yet, it's easy in our world to be busy, to be distracted. This pandemic has been yet another distraction that I'm afraid has pulled many of us from seeking God. Don't let that happen to you. Remember this, worship is meant to be an ongoing rhythm in our life, something that we engage in at various times during the day or the week, not just something we do once a week on Sunday. God desires to commune with us regularly, leading, guiding, providing for us like a shepherd cares for his sheep. It's that ongoing rhythm, that regular relationship that makes worship come alive in our hearts. Sometimes it's a song that really helps me to express my heart to God. I do appreciate the variety of worship music we have today. Other times it's prayer that works to help me to connect with God. I just tell God what's going on. I just get it out there and then I ask for His help and His insights. Another regular rhythm for me is to read the scriptures. How many times has God used something in my through the Bible in a year that says what I need to hear for the day? When that happens, I just smile and I raise a hallelujah. And when we get into that ongoing rhythm, worship helps us develop thanksgiving and gratitude. We had a wonderful celebration of life service for Tom Noggle on Friday. Tom was a person who developed that heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. Tom attended worship often, and he regularly told me, "God has blessed me in so many wonderful ways. I am so thankful, so grateful." Tom was in worship on Sundays, and he regularly came on Wednesday nights to refuel when we were meeting that. And I'd often see him on Thursday nights for Celebrate Recovery worship as well before COVID, always participating, always eager to give thanks and praise to God. Worship often helps us develop a thankful and grateful heart. As Christians, when we talk about worship, we remember the triune nature of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We understand God has revealed Himself most completely in three persons. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we worship God the Father, the Creator, the one who has created all that is. Now, science can give us a whole variety of ways to talk about the created order, from string theory to molecular biology to quantum physics, but God the Creator is the one behind it all. All of life is a gift from God. And when we consider the complexity of life and the majesty of the created order, it's hard not to stop and declare God's praise. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." You know, the heavens alone and all that we continue to discover about the expanse, the magnitude of the universe, lifts the heart of believers. How can we not worship God the Father, our Creator? And then there is Jesus the Son, our Savior. Type Savior in the chat. In John 14:9, Jesus told Philip, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." In John 1:14, the apostle John said of Jesus, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." When we look at Jesus, we have a chance to see the immortal, invisible God. When we understand who He is, when we consider what He has done, we can't help but honor and magnify and worship Jesus. 1 John 4:14 says, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." You know, when the lights come on, when the Spirit helps us understand, when we comprehend the gospel truth, we can't help but worship and spread the good news about Jesus. But until that happens, we are ignorant and blind about our need for Christ. I was. I suppose you were too. And yet the Scripture says, All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do we really need a reminder? We all fall short in some way. We each have our own signature sins, but thanks be to God, in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior. The Apostle Paul said this in Colossians 1, 21 and 22, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Once I was alienated, far from God. Now I am reconciled, and there is peace between me and God. Thank you, Jesus. He suffered and died for you and me. When we finally get this, when we perceive the breadth of His sacrifice, His purity, His love, we have to worship. We can't help it. How many countless people have told that story in their own words, in their own circumstances, throughout the ages? I think of Charles Wesley's famous line from his hymn, "And Can It Be," that reads like this: "My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee." Jesus has come to save us, to set us free. And there's also the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Another object of our worship is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Though I'm going away, I will not leave you helpless." He went on to say in John 14, 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will" what? "Teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." One of the great blessings of our faith in Christ is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you become a Christian, you are forgiven, reconciled to God, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This was the new covenant Jeremiah talked about when he said one day God would write His law upon the hearts of His people. This was part of the new covenant Jesus pointed to at the Last Supper as He raised the cup. This was part of what John the Baptist understood when he said of Jesus, "The one coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." The presence and power of God comes to live inside of us, and we have our own experiences of the Holy Spirit. We experience God's leading and guiding, directing and comforting work. We experience the Holy Spirit teaching and reminding us of the things of God. What a blessing! Over time, we get used to the Spirit's still small voice. We develop ears to hear whispers from God, the Spirit nudging us, leading and guiding us to take some actions or to avoid others. And when we act on those promptings, we see the handiwork of God. During our recent 24/7 prayer vigil last week, I prayed that people in our church would become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's whispers and the Holy Spirit's work. I'm convinced God wants to reach many new people in these challenging times. So be open to that still small voice from the Holy Spirit. So what have we said about worship? Well, God is worthy of our worship. Also, worship is how we cultivate our connection with the living God. Worship also keeps us grounded in a crisis. Our understanding of the purpose and power of worship grows over time, and we learn to give God worship from our hearts. And yes, there are postures and practices that help us express what we feel, help us to find our own rhythm. And thanksgiving and gratitude increasingly flow out of our worshiping hearts. So we worship God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One essence, but three unique persons, three unique roles. So hear this: "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people, the sheep of His hand." Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. You might want to pray along with me in your heart. Oh, Heavenly Father, loving Lord, gracious Spirit, we thank you for the privilege of worship. Almighty God, you're worthy of our worship and praise. We thank you for the beauty of your creation. My very life is a gift from your hand. Pray along as I recognize you, Lord Jesus, you who suffered and died on the cross for me. I thank you for all you've done. Please forgive me, heal me, make me whole. And God, recognizing the Holy Spirit as the one who comforts and teaches and guides me, Holy Spirit, I thank you for continuing to lead, prompt, and speak to me by your still, small voice. Tell him, I love you, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, you are always worthy of my honor and praise. During these unique and challenging times, may I worship and praise you all the more. In the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message today, I want to hear from you. Perhaps you want to develop more of a worshiping heart. You want that. I'd love to talk with you further. Maybe you would say that, hey, I need Christ. I want to be reconciled with God. I need that forgiveness that Jesus can give. If that's you, simply pray this prayer. Jesus, I need your saving power. I want you to come into my life. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe you died for me. Right now, I trust you as my Savior and receive your Holy Spirit in my life. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. Welcome into God's family. Hallelujah. I'd encourage you to tell somebody about it. I'd love to hear from you too. If you have any prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app, go to the website, and of course, thank you for your generosity as well. Your giving is a tangible way to thank God for His goodness. You know, today is a special day in the life of our church. We're inviting members and friends to prayerfully turn in a Stewardship 2022 Estimate of Giving card. It's going to take everyone's help in this new year. Remember, you cannot outgive God. Respond online, through the mail, or in person. Thank you for your prayerful participation and Jesus-inspired generosity. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, God is worthy of your worship and praise. So for now, what's the most practical way you can worship the living God today?
So what are you doing this weekend?
Well, we were going to go to Oktoberfest, but I have a phobia of German sausages.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I fear the worst.
First Wednesday has been described as a meal, a mission, and a message. Join us the first Wednesday in November for baked ziti and salad, packing shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child, and a healing service led by Will Rogers Methodist pastor Brian Mangan. You won't want to miss this first Wednesday, November 3rd at 5:30 p.m.
And we have another shoebox packing party planned. Thursday, October 28th at 6:30 p.m., you'll have the unique opportunity to hear from our guest speaker, Dania, a young woman who received an OCC shoebox gift as a child. If you or your Sunday school class would like to pack your own shoeboxes, bring them to the church by Dedication Sunday, November 21st. Contact Sue Hayes or Phil Blodevogel with any questions.
The United Methodist Women are pleased to hold a bake sale on Sunday, October 24th. Delicious homemade baked goods and desserts will be available for sale in the People Place. Enjoy them now or freeze them for the holidays. Pecan sales begin November 11th. Are you curious about the UMW and its mission? Our next meeting is December 9th. Contact Lisa in the church office for details.
You can find all of this information and more on our newly updated website, cumctulsa.com.
Hi, I'm David Wolf,
Hi.
Chair of the Finance Board.
I'm Penny.
Hi, I'm David Wolf, Chair of the Finance Board.
Hi, I'm also Penny.
Here at Christ Church, we pinch every penny. My friends, the staff and finance board here at Christ Church take our stewardship responsibility very seriously. On the expense side of the budget, we want to be the best stewards of the financial gifts you so generously give us. With that in mind, for next year's proposed budget, we've reduced expenses without laying off any staff and without having a negative impact on our children, youth, mission, and worship programs. We did that by deciding not to fill any open positions and eliminating expenses of programs and events we were not able and are not able to have due to the pandemic. On the income side of the budget, our donations are down this year for various reasons. Please help us get an accurate estimate of next year's income budget by returning your estimate of giving card during our stewardship campaign. May God bless and keep you during this most difficult season.